トキャットキーダーガネタイゴールハリーチンタチキチュッカータチキチュッカータチキチュッカーゴールハリーチンキシロンゴールチンレイマンネ
The wonderful day today. Is it the appearance day of Brahman Roy today, I believe? Appearance or disappearance? Appearance. Very auspicious day today. What do you say? This is the first time I think that we've sat together to share privilege, this wonderful opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada in this way and glorify Srila Prabhupada and serve you in one little way we can to help you to take shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and their parampara, the Siddha succession here in front of Shri Shri Radha Madhava, Shri Shri Panchatattva and all the Vaishnavas here today. We're very blessed and fortunate, so thank you all very, very much. Maybe we can begin with Sridhar Prabhu doing the purificatory rites, and the neck beads will also have to be put on the devotees. Good, those were taken first. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
At every opportunity during the yajna, if there's no other mantras chanted or talks going on, please chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That's always the best way to begin and end any ceremony. And in the middle of it.
Beginning, middle, and end of everything.
Thank you all for coming to this most auspicious ceremony. I want you to know that you have all actually left Makati. You are no longer sitting in Makati. You have now entered the spiritual realm. The Srila Prabhupada said that these temples are all embassies of the spiritual world. And just like if an embassy in one country is situated in another country, the rules of that particular country that the embassy represents are what governs what goes on inside that building. The same way, Prabhupada said, because the service of the Lord is going on here, deities are being worshipped, we're chanting the holy name, we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all other devotional activities, this place is no longer the material world, but is actually transformed into the spiritual realm. We are blessed to be in the presence of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Sri Sri Panchatattva, Sri Viraj Govardhan, or I think is one you'd like to know. This kind of founder Acharya, the Divine Grace and Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and all the wonderful Vaishnavas, headed by His Holiness Jananda Goswami Maharaj. Jananda Goswami Maharaj. He's got a louder voice than I do. Anyway, now that you've all come to the spiritual world, you should understand what this ceremony is all about. Technically, it's called Diksha. And in a couple of places in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada quotes Sanatana Goswami, who is in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, he says that as a base metal like bell metal can be changed into gold by a chemical process, any person can be similarly changed into a Vaishnava or a Brahmana by Diksha Vidana, the initiation process. So, Vaishnava initiation is not optional if one in fact wants to make progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, again, Sanatana Goswami says, it's a duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take Vaishnava initiation from him. So as we were mentioning a couple of weeks ago, this is a natural progression in Srila Rupa Goswami's nine-step process of devotional service. You remember that we spoke about preliminary faith, which is called Shraddha. That preliminary faith that brings us into the association of devotees. This is called Sadhu Sangha. And while we are associating with the Vaishnavas, we learn from them the principles of Krishna consciousness. And amongst those Vaishnavas, we may hear from some advanced Vaishnavas. We may take them as Shiksha Gurus. And then amongst those many Shiksha Gurus that we hear from, we may choose one to be a Diksha Guru. And this is actually a very rare thing. So this third step is called Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya, it includes the taking of Diksha from a spiritual master in the civic succession. And also means Bhajana, meaning that one performs regulated devotional service. Even more so, with more intensity, with more sincerity than he or she had prior to taking Diksha. It should be a continuous thing. Because if one performs his Bhajana Kriya in a proper way, then the next stage of moving the anartas
one will be very effective at removing the unwanted things from the core of the heart. So it is a natural progression. So this is, we can say, step three. Today we're offering two types of diksha. One is Harinam initiation, often referred to as the first initiation, and Brahminical initiation or the second initiation. Harinam is when we formally receive the holy name from a bona fide member of the Siddharic succession. Brahminical initiation is when we receive the Gayatri Mantra, which is a series of seven mantras. And these are required for us to worship the deity and to perform other Brahminical rites, like, for example, holding the Agnihotra and so on. So scripture states that one should receive the mantra from a bona fide guru. Otherwise, the mantra will not have very much effect. We can say that up until the time of diksha, that one more or less is preparing, one is practicing. And because the holy name is so powerful, yes, one does get purified and one gets benefit. But until one actually receives the mantra through descendant succession, the mantra will not bear its ultimate fruit. So it must be received. And actually, this is very rare. It is said, Brahmanji Brahmati Kama Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Bhadabhich. This is quoted in Prabhupada's Manjilila. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of the many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. In the next verse, in the purport, Prabhupada explains what is that seed. He says that the bhakti lata bij means the seed of devotional service, the methods, rules, and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the bhakti lata bij, or the seed of devotional service. And then in the verse, Prabhupada explains, when a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravanam and kirtanam, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. So there are four disciplic lines, four bona fide Vaishnava disciplic lines. One comes from Lord Shiva, another from Lakshmi, a third from the sons of Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras, and the last, Lord Brahma. Our line is, of course, through Lord Brahma, to Narada, to Vyas, and so on, to Śrīla Prabhupāda and his followers. Therefore, we are called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We have to say that our Sampradaya is quite unique, because the other Sampradayas, although bona fide, more or less focus on the Aishwarya aspect of the Lord, the awe and reverence. Whereas in our Sampradaya, because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming, the other rasas, such as the parental rasa, the mood of friendship, and the mood of madhurya, sweetness, like that of the gopis, is found. And that's lacking in the other Sampradayas. And we know that Mahaprabhu came as a devotee, but he also comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani to experience the highest form of devotional service, which he said is expressed by the gopis. He exemplified that. The mood of separation. Vipalambahabha, that is the highest thing. So this Sampradaya has something that no other Sampradaya has. So we're very fortunate to be in this Sampradaya. Of course, Mahaprabhu also came to give us the Yuga Dharma, which is the chanting of the holy name. And this is what he and his associates were doing all the time. They were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So it's very clear. Maharaj is a perfect exemplar of this, that chanting Hare Krishna is the essence of all Krishna conscious practice. And therefore, we'll always find Maharaj chanting. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Luckily, he doesn't have a microphone. Now, there are three stages of chanting, which Prabhupada has spoken about. And these are elaborated on in great depth by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani and other such literatures, giving very deep explanations and details about the many offenses, the many types of impurities that we have within the heart, and things we have to remove. But in a broad sense, Prabhupada categorized the chanting to three stages. He said there's first the offensive stage, there's the clearing stage, and there's chanting the pure love of God. So offensive means we are committing one or more of the 10 offenses, and therefore our chanting is very much tainted by that. And offensive chanting will never bear the fruit of prema bhakti. So we have to go beyond this. Prabhupada said the clearing stage means that one realizes what the offenses are, he starts to reduce them, and eventually eliminate them altogether. And then by the great fortune of the Vaishnavas, Guru Krishna, one can come to the stage of chanting the pure nam, Sudha nam. That is clearly our goal of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. There is no other goal. Simply to come to the stage of chanting Sudha nam. So Krishna and his name are non-different. Prabhupada explained this so many times. One of the most commonly given examples from Srila Prabhupada is the example of water. He says that one may chant water, 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 but simply by chanting, he will never taste one drop. He will never get his thirst quenched. But on the spiritual plane, if you chant Hare Krishna, you will get the highest pleasure if you continue to chant, and if you chant offenselessly. So, if Krishna and his name are not different, it means that the name is also a person. We often call that person Nam Prabhu. So we pray to Nam Prabhu when we are chanting the holy name, that we become free of offenses, that we can be fully attentive, that we can have deep love in our hearts, and that we can actually cry out for the mercy of the Vaishnavas, Guru, and Krishna. We should have that mood when we're chanting. There's a few verses here, although there are countless number of verses that we can quote. I mentioned three here, two from the Bhagavatam, one from, of course, the Brihad Naradiya Purana. First one, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there's still one quality about this age, good quality. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Next, whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Gorpura Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be attained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And last, in this age of Kali, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. So it tells us that the Maha Mantra is something very special. It's not just any mantra. It is the Maha Mantra. It has been given by Mahaprabhu himself for the age of Kali. It is the Yuga Dharma. So we should consider ourselves very fortunate to have the opportunity to chant the holy name. Who knows how many births we have waited to chant Hare Krishna? Hundreds, thousands, perhaps millions, before we've come to this stage of being able to chant Hare Krishna. So never take it for granted. The fact that you can chant is a rare thing. I mean, just consider, how many devotees are here today? How many devotees are in this city? How many devotees are in this country? How many devotees are there in the world chanting Hare Krishna? Relatively few compared to the population of the entire planet. So it is such a rare thing. So we should take it seriously ourselves, and we should work very hard to try to give it to others. So there are some qualifications for diksha. On the part of the guru, and these are very basic, but it goes without saying he should be free, as Prabhupada said, from all vice, from sinful activities. He knows the conclusions of Vedic literatures, and he's able to convince others of those conclusions. He is a disciple of a bona fide guru in the sibling succession. Obviously, to be a guru, one must first be a disciple. And the real fact is that one never stops being a disciple. And as Mara said in the beginning, anything that we're doing here is simply representing Srila Prabhupada as disciples. We're two disciples here representing Srila Prabhupada. So we always are in the position of disciples, even though we may also function as gurus in also connecting you with Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. But there's one more very important, and I think the most important qualification, and that is that Srila Prabhupada said many times that I simply tried to follow the orders of my spiritual master. And this is a very, very striking thing. I just heard it a couple days ago in a lecture that Prabhupada was giving in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was saying about qualifications of a disciple, what empowers a disciple to do wonderful things. And Prabhupada spoke humbly about himself. At this point, he had already traveled the world and established Krishna consciousness in practically every country in the globe. But humbly, he was saying that his only qualification, he said, I have no qualification. He said, my only qualification is that I simply try to follow the order of my spiritual master. So that is what we are trying to do. We are trying to follow the order of our spiritual master to give you Krishna consciousness. And in this way, you also will follow the order of Prabhupada and his previous acharyas. And in this way, you will be connected to the sibling succession. Now, part of the disciple, there have to be some qualifications. Again, these are basic. Should have understood the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And we know there's a simple test, very simple test, to just see if one has understood those basic things. Chanted 16 rounds and followed the principles for at least 1 year. Demonstrated sincerity and practice, and developed full faith in the Guru by the method given in Bhagavad Gita 434. And very simply put, that the way to receive transcendental knowledge is to approach and surrender to a spiritual master with submissive inquiry and service. This is our system. This is the way that the Parampara works. The Guru doesn't come flying in on a magic carpet. When we saw Maharaj, he walked in with his own 2 feet today. He didn't fly in through the window, as some people think. They think it's something ethereal, the transmission of spiritual knowledge from guru to disciple. You know, in the past, there was an idea that the guru would touch the disciple. There's one such story of one guru touching the disciple and so-called transferring his spiritual power to him, and then he became bereft of spiritual power and he collapsed because he had given all his spiritual power to the disciple. And Prabhupada had commented on that several times and saying this is pure nonsense. And the real fact is that it is a very simple thing, and is demonstrated in Bhagavad Gita in the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna poses questions, Krishna answers the questions. And in this way, by questions and answers, there is a transferal of transcendental knowledge. Doubts are removed. Faith is developed. And one progresses in the spiritual path. So thus the bond between guru and disciple is formed. But we should note that becoming a true disciple is serious business. It's not to be taken lightly. Srila Prabhupada said it's not a fashion. It's not because my friend or my relative has a guru that I should also get a guru. In the same way that one may keep a pet, that I should also have a guru. It's not like that. One must have faith and be able to commit to following lifelong vows. So one should be sure before he takes this step. We don't want devotees to be here today and then be gone tomorrow. As Maharaj mentioned, sometimes he sees certain devotees at some visits. He comes back the next time. He doesn't see those devotees. He comes back the third time and he sees they're back again. This kind of practice of Krishna consciousness is not very effective. The flip and the flop. Sometimes there, sometimes not. Going here and going there. But it means to be steady. And on the other side, we don't want to become fence sitters. We also have this phenomenon. That after 20 years, one still hasn't come to the point of taking initiation. Some persons are coming for 10, 15, 20, even more. And still they haven't come to the point of taking initiation. They're the eternal bhaktas. Those who never come forward. So we don't want to be in that stage either. So we want to be serious and committed on one side, but on the other side, we don't want to be left out in the rain, so to speak, and never come to the point. So if one follows the process of Krishna consciousness correctly, one will automatically come to that stage at some point. And if one is not coming to that stage, it means that one is not practicing Krishna consciousness in the correct way. Because, as I mentioned, this is a natural progression. First, there's initial faith, you become an association of devotees, and then from that association, you develop the qualification and desire to take diksha. So if one is not coming to the point, it means that one is not practicing correctly. Now, we should note that there are basically three types of gurus. One is the founder acharya, which is the most important personality. In our case, Srila Prabhupada. And he's the founder of ISKCON. He set so many different rules and regulations. He hasn't changed, but he's adjusted according to time, place, and circumstance because he's the acharya. And his position is very unique. It will always be unique, the rest of the Kali Yuga. So, for everyone in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is the main Shiksha Guru. Some, he is the Diksha Guru, but that breed is quickly beginning to leave this world. As we're getting older, we're seeing our god brothers, our god sisters, many of them have already left, and more are leaving every year, in fact. So, there are a few of Prabhupada's disciples, direct disciples left. So there's the founder acharya, there's a shiksha guru, one instructs, diksha guru, one actually gives the mantra, the diksha, performs that function. And it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Actually, the Diksha and the Shiksha Gurus are equal manifestations of the mercy of Krishna. There shouldn't be a distinction in that way between them. Although they perform different functions, they should be honored on the same level. So, we should understand Prabhupada's position as a Bhagavacharya is very special. It's very unique. Prabhupada is the Shaktadesh avatar. He's not just an ordinary guru or acharya of an institution, but he was chosen by Krishna to come directly at this point to Kali Yuga and to deliver Krishna consciousness. It said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that unless one is actually empowered, one cannot spread Krishna consciousness in the way that Srila Prabhupada did. In the span of 10 or 12 years, he was able to implant Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's not the work of an ordinary soul. It means he is divinely empowered by Krishna to do that. So what he did can never be duplicated. That means that there's no other Vaishnava institution that can even come close to ISKCON. Yes, there are other Vaishnava institutions, granted, but they are in no way even close to the institution of Prabhupada created. ISKCON is very unique, it's very special, and it is the main movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Kali Yuga. That is a fact. So we should be very careful to guard our bhakti bhava teachers from so-called preachers who may come and speak sweet words about Srila Prabhupada and then in the next breath begin to blaspheme ISKCON devotees and ISKCON, and then basically say, ISKCON's no good, so you should join our institution. So just be warned. Beware of this. Because there are such persons around. They're traveling around. And certain ISKCON devotees have been attracted to such persons. And they have been duped into thinking that by leaving ISKCON and joining another society, that it's somehow going to better them. But the fact is that it's going to ultimately ruin their spiritual lives. So as I said, the diction and the Shiksha Gurus, they work together. If we don't know this already, we should learn that we should honor, we should respect the God brothers of our spiritual master on the same level that we respect our own spiritual master. We should respect the disciples of our God brothers and on the same level that we respect other Vaishnavas. And we shouldn't fall into the syndrome, which is sometimes called my guru only syndrome. That means that one has the mentality that I will only listen to my guru when it says like this. He doesn't want to listen from his more senior godbrothers or god sisters. He doesn't want to listen from other spiritual masters, be they Shiksha gurus. But he has this mentality. This is the mentality of the Kanishadikari, the neophyte devotee. He sees guru only. But actually, he really doesn't see anyone except himself. And he really doesn't follow anyone except his own mind. Because the spiritual master is telling the disciple that you should respect my God brothers, you should respect all of the Vaishnavas, and you should be in a mood of serving all of the devotees. So how is it then that one can claim that I'm following my guru only? This is nonsense. So we should very carefully guard against this mentality. Because this is the mentality of the Kanishas, the lowest class of practitioners. On the side of Brahminical initiation, there are also a few qualifications the Prabhupada gave. First was that one should have steadiness in sadhana and service. He said these are the main qualifications. In his coming out, how they test and what is supposed to pass before taking Brahminical initiation, which is a little bit more advanced Shastric understanding. One should have passed that, but one hasn't. As we have this time made some exceptions, we have given Sri Rambabu the responsibility to teach those devotees who have not yet taken the test and passed it to learn what is required to do that. So you should do that. You should pass the test. Otherwise, might have to take that thread back. There's six duties of a Brahmin. Learn the Vedas and teach the Vedas. Means we should study first and foremost Srila Prabhupada's books. And as Prabhupada said, we should know his books like a lawyer knows his law books. Just like a lawyer in court, he knows he quotes certain sections of the law book. And such case, such and such verdict was there, and he uses that as the precedent to make his point. In the same way, you'll note that when Prabhupada preaches, or when Prabhupada's followers for that matter preach, they will quote Shastra. Because unless you quote Shastra, you can't be authoritative. Prabhupada said he was simply a representative, representing his guru, the siblic succession, representing Krishna. And therefore he quoted Krishna, Krishna, Krishna constantly, or Mahaprabhu, always quoting, to back up whatever he said. We will never see, and we'll never hear Prabhupada said, I think. He never said like that. I was just reading a very nice the pastime, and where in Bombay, a young boy was coming, and he was interested in Krishna consciousness, but he could not see the value of chanting 16 rounds. He thought, well, if Krishna consciousness is absolute, then all services must also be absolute. So why chant Hare Krishna and, you know, not do some other service? He said, I prefer to do something else. And so this Prabhupada gave an answer to this person, but this boy kept pushing the point. And the boy said, why? And the Prabhupada said, no why. He said, no why. He said, because I'm saying so. I'm telling you that you have to chant 16 rounds. You have to chant 16 rounds, and I don't care if you sleep all day, but you must chant 16 rounds. And Prabhupada said, no why. You simply do what I say. Because he was Krishna's representative. So, you know, we have to learn Shastra, and we have to teach Shastra, we preach Shastra, we give Shastra to others. Otherwise, what will we teach? Something that we make up. We should learn deity worship, because Prabhupada has established that as a very important part of our system of purification. We develop a personal relationship with Krishna, we learn deity worship, and we teach deity worship. This is also the teacher to others. And lastly, we often collect alms. We often collect alms on behalf of the spiritual master. And we distribute those alms. And this for us means basically whatever we collect, we offer to Guru, we offer to Krishna, and we distribute it in the form of the holy name, prasadam, Prabhupada's books, especially important. So now, before Maharaj explains 10 offenses and whatever other nectar he's got in store for us, I will leave you with one short story, very illustrative of a guru-disciple relationship. But this story should teach us that we should not be mindlessly following the order. Because in the Nectar instruction it says, the definition of utsaha, or enthusiasm, is endeavor with which is executed with intelligence. So if our spiritual master gives us an instruction, we should think how to intelligently carry it out. Not that we just mindlessly do it without much thought. Just enthusiasm alone is not enough. So the story goes that there was once a guru, and he was called to do the yajna in some distant place. This is in the days of York, many hundreds of years ago. The guru was living in a village. He had to travel to another village, so he had to go by bullock cart. So he had one assistant, a disciple. And the disciple loaded up the cart with so many different types of paraphernalia. It's like you see here. He had ghee, he had the special spoons for offering into the sacred fire, all different kinds of paraphernalia required. So they were going along. Before they started, actually, the guru said, make a list of everything that's here. Just in case anything is misplaced, we want to make sure everything's here. So, second made a list. And as we're going, they were traveling, they were going to this place, and it was an overnight trip. And it was somewhere in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, the cart hit a bump or some kind of crater in the road, and the whole cart tipped over. All of the paraphernalia fell out. It was strewn all over the place. The guru was thrown out of the cart. The disciple was thrown out of the cart. So the disciple thought, well, now I'll have to check my list. And so with great effort, he got some help with some other villagers and put the cart back up. And he looked at his list, and he very carefully placed in the ghee, the yajna spoons, paraphernalia, all the things. Checked his list two or three times, made sure everything was there, and he got in the cart, and he started to leave. And as he was pulling away, he heard, wait! Wait! You forgot me! That was the guru calling out. And the disciple said, Guru Dave, you're not on the list. So this is a mindless type of following an instruction. The main point was to make sure that the guru was taken care of, not the paraphernalia. So this disciple had missed the whole point altogether. So, if we are going to follow an instruction, make sure that think about it carefully and execute it with intelligence. Because that's what Prabhupada wants us. He wanted thoughtful persons. He wanted them to not be just mindless or be robotic. He wanted them to practice in the correct way. So I'm going to stop here and turn over the mic to Maharaj so he can enlighten us with whatever he's going to enlighten us with. Thank you.
Hey.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. So it is customary on these occasions.
Customary to have a good night.
It's customary on these occasions, these most auspicious occasions. As Maharaj has already outlined, the three types of chanting. is not to remain, as Maharaj concluded his discourse by explaining we shouldn't be mindless or robotic or mechanistic. But simply, on these occasions we discuss a very important aspect of our devotional service, which Maharaj requested me to briefly discuss today, the essential factors involved in which are required for us to progress from a neophyte platform to the advanced platform. And again, as Maharaj was mentioned there, basically speaking, we should understand what is our goal. The form is important, but the substance is the real essence. It's like a fruit. What is the essence of a fruit? It's the rasa, the juice within it. How to extract the juice, how to actually get the real essence of that fruit. Other stories can be told there. In principle, you always have to bear that in mind. You may be very good, for instance, at a game. Yesterday we were in Davao and we were doing prasad distribution in a basketball court. National sport. If you don't know what the goal is, you may be very good at the game, but you will not win. You have to know what the goal is, isn't it? Going round and around the circuit. No goal. No real game. Similarly, in our spiritual lives, we want to get the real game. It's wonderful to chant Hare Krishna. It's wonderful to be connected to Lord Chaitanya's movement. But the real, say, ultimate purpose of our doing this is to awaken our love of God. To come to the platform of pure devotional service, Shudana. Today, I think five devotees are accepting Harinam Diksha. And how many are accepting Mantra Diksha? 8, 9, 10, 11. Very auspicious. So, especially those who are taking Harinam Diksha, it's important to know how we can progress. Also, every one of us, but how we can progress from the beginning stages to the advanced stages of devotional service. So we'll talk a little bit about that which is important for us to develop to pure devotional service. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhakti Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Divine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Samyadhi Vastita Veshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Hare
Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare. Come on, everyone, hands up. This is surrender. Hands up, ladies, gentlemen. And loudly, we want to call. If you want to call someone, we've got to make sure they can hear it. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
So this is also a very important samskara, we call samskara, which means impression in our hearts.
Sometimes devotees ask, as Maharaj mentioned already, the Yuga Dharma, Kali Kalera Dharma, Harinama Sankirtan. The Dharma for this age is chanting Hare Krishna. What is the need for performing a fire sacrifice or chanting other mantras? Srila Prabhupada again, of course, he established this right from the word go. I was reading from Mukunda Maharaj's new book, The First Initiation in New York. It was, we hope that the devotees are a little bit more prepared than that. They did not know what the regulated principles were until the day. They did not know that they had to chant on beads, minimum 16 rounds a day. We hope you all know that. If you don't, you might be in for a surprise. So, it's a very important event. And Mukunda Maharaj, his name was Michael, he also had that realization. He took initiation at the very first initiation performed by Srila Prabhupada in the Western world. And he had that realization when he sat there with Srila Prabhupada in front of the fire, Prabhupada chanting all the mantras, performing the various offerings and so on. It had a powerful impression on his heart. It changed. He said it's like it changed his life sitting there during that ceremony. Full of samskara is an impression, something that is deep within our hearts. You know, the material world, we've all got various impressions due to our association, our attachments in this world, and so on. Some of them are very strong. So we've got to make our spiritual impressions stronger. So this is one of those very strong impressions. Just like when a man and a woman get married, they have a ceremony. It's not a light thing. It's a serious business to get married. And it's supposed to be a lifetime commitment. So there is the ceremony in our Vedic culture. There's similar to this. Make sure you chant the right mantras today. Not the marriage mantras, the initiation mantras. It's a serious thing to help commit us, to make that leap of faith, that step, serious commitment in our spiritual life. Today, all of us here today, it applies to all of us, but particularly those who are to take either mantra initiation or Harinama initiation, are making this very serious commitment. And so this is to strengthen that, so it remains permanently in our hearts. We're making the vow today in front of Srila Prabhupada, in front of all the devotees here today, in front of Shishi Devi Govardhan, Devi Raj Maharaj, who are here today, Shishi Panchatattva and Shishi Radha Madhava, and in front of Srila Prabhupada's representative, His Holiness Giridhari Maharaj, and our lowly self. So our purpose is to try to assist you in becoming pleasing to Krishna. As long as we behave in a way which is, as Mark was mentioning, thinking of ourselves, what I want to do, and so on, we will never be satisfied. Initiation is the commitment to mold our lives for the pleasure of Krishna. And the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the Sikshastakam prayers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the very last chapter. Generally, when we translate or when we read the translations of Sikshastakam, we don't exactly say the same translation that is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But there is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's translation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has explained why we have no taste in chanting the holy names. Unless we get a taste in our devotional practices, it will also be difficult. We're not impersonalists. Krishna consciousness is not just a process of renunciation.
is a positive acceptance of the path of bhakti. And on that path of bhakti, it's not that we should be hankering for it necessarily or expecting it, but it's understood that there will be pleasure, that there will be a higher taste. So Lord Chaitanya says that he has no taste for chanting. Why does he have no taste? We may have strong faith, but why is he saying he has no taste? Who knows? Why does he have no taste? Anyone? Put another? Jasper?
Because of offenses.
Thank you. Lord Chaitanya said, because I commit or we commit offenses. So if it's the offenses which are keeping us, then the taste, not that we're hankering, not say that that's our, you know, condition, but without developing that taste, how will we give up the taste of this material? The offences, as Maharaj was mentioning, didn't go into detail, left that to me. First stage is the offensive nama aparad stage. Namavas is the clearing stage where offences are still there. But we're making an effort to become free of offences. In the offensive stage, there's no such effort. In the clearing stage, we are consciously making that effort. It's not that you're completely free of the tendency or even occasionally some offense may be there. But we're consciously trying to avoid the offenses in chanting. Shudanam means chanting without any offense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, I think it's in his Namabhajan, explains there how actually the real offensive chanting is twofold. It's chanting with the intent of gaining liberation, and chanting with the intent of attaining material gain. These two block our progress from Namabhas to Shudanam. In the proper association of those who are Shudanam Bhaktis, one can become free of this tendency. So it's one thing to know the rules or the standards and to apply it as best we can. But in order to develop the attitude, the pleasing approach towards the Lord, we must hear in the association of those who are advanced in devotional service. This is also the aspect of initiation, as Maharaj mentioned, of receiving nam from that pure recipient succession. And the motivation is simply to please Krishna. So this is explained in Padma Purana, it's explained also in many scriptures, nectar of devotion also, the offenses which are to be avoided. So this is our responsibility as devotees to come to pure devotional service and to make every effort we can to avoid these offenses. So now we go through the offenses, which are like fences on our spiritual path. So we have to remove the offense, remove the offense.
So it's offense.
Offense? Off fence.
Off fence.
Yes, off,
yeah. Fence.
Off the fence.
Off the fence.
You have to get off the fence. Remove the offense. It's a clearing stage. And there's one secret which you'll come to. So we're going to go through the 10 offenses now, as Prabhupada usually did at initiations. So we're going to request you please to, and I ask for offense number one, to put your hands up and give an answer. What's the first offense against chanting the holy names? The first offense against chanting. Yes, Mother Teresa. Sorry?
sure many of you know it. I couldn't hear it, but I'm sure it was correct.
It was correct.
It was correct, yes. And it still is correct. To blaspheme those devotees who dedicated themselves to chanting or spreading the holy names. No words we may say, they have not dedicated themselves. I don't think they dedicated themselves. Therefore, I can criticize them. I can find fault. I can be envious of them. And I can even blaspheme them for their own benefit. Sometimes their scheming minds may think like that. This is the greatest obstacle in our spiritual lives. Even though one may be a neophyte on the spiritual path, nonetheless, he is assistant. He's taking shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. And if we are critical or offensive or envious towards any devotee, there's a place for constructive criticism. But that is for those who are in a position to do so. Otherwise, we should be very careful. Use our intelligence and common sense, but very careful not to even think enviously or critically of other Vaishnavas. So that's the first offense which should be carefully avoided. It's like the mad elephant offense which will smash everything in the garden. What's the second offense? Jasper, you're on the wall. Not the second offense, it's one of the ten, so we'll give you credit for that. What's the second offense? Of course, you could say it could be, sometimes they are in a different order, but not that far apart, usually. Yes, Janaki.
Because they're getting something that like
Varshi brought
over from
us. Very good. Consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. It also refers to thinking that the Lord, his name, his form, and so on are different. The name is non-different than the Lord. Or to think that the Lord has no form. Or to think that we're all God. Or there is no God. Or that God is impersonal. This is a very great offense. It's expanded in different places like this. So be very careful of this offense. To understand Krishna's the fountainhead of everything. Of all the demigods and sages, of all the various energies, everything comes from Krishna. Source of everything. Third offense? Okay, somebody else. Ashimisho? Yes, to consider the spiritual master as an ordinary person, or to? And to. Obey or disobey? Disobey. Don't disobey the orders of the spiritual master. The best way to cut one's connection with Krishna. A connection with Krishna is through the instruction of the spiritual master. It's a lifeline. If you disobey it, it's like we're cutting that lifeline. Not very wise. Not very intelligent. Even it may be a little shaky and rocky, don't let go. Don't cut the line. Don't disobey. If we're having problems, be humble, be honest. Don't cut that. And to consider an ordinary man. Well, we may say, look at this creature like me sitting here. He's not even an ordinary person. He's less than an ordinary guy. Look at him. Fool. Born in the family of pig herders, no good qualifications. That's true. We have no good qualification. We have one good qualification, which is the only one you need. Somehow or another, by good fortune, we've been connected to Srila Prabhupada. Somehow or another, by good fortune, we've been given this opportunity. We have a long way to go, at least in my case, where I can say, really speaking, representing Srila Prabhupada in a way that will please him, but somehow or another representing Srila Prabhupada. So the spiritual master is in that line of just simple succession. It's not an ordinary thing, as Maharaj said earlier, it's very, very rare. Such a great soul, not a really great soul, but the opportunity to connect with such a great soul is very, very rare. So in that way, we're not ordinary because we're in the association. Just like if you're in the association of an important person in this world. You may be the dog of the prime president. You may be the dog's president. The president's dog. Do you go up to the president's dog and kick it? Is that what you do? Get out of here. Is that what you'll do? Kick the dog? What will the president think? He may be a dog. Will the president say, yes, yes, well done, well done? What will he do? Arrest him! Huh? And drag him away. You kicked my dog, you rascal. Isn't it? You're a dog's nonsense. Or the son. Or even the servant. He represents the king. So you have to be very careful. If you don't, you can't consider him an ordinary person, even if he is less than that. Because he represents the king. Or the person. Fourth offense. Come on. Yes. Yes, blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature is in pursuance of the Vedic version, or to belittle them. Sometimes we don't understand them. Sometimes their scriptures are instructions for different persons at different levels, just like any education. But we should never be critical of that, or belittle it as being below us or above us or whatever it may be, or irrelevant. It is relevant in some cases, at least time, place, and circumstance. So we should always be respectful to the Vedic literatures. Never talking about the Vedic literatures, we have four books here, and when the yoga begins, we would like to, with Maharaj's permission, have four readers on the four corners. Maybe somebody can select that in a minute. So respect these books. Respect them by reading them. Those who are taking initiation, please read Prabhupada's books in whatever way you can, whenever you can. Very important. What's the fifth offense? Jasper? Yes. Consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Very similar, 5 and 6, but specifically the glories. Sometimes we hear people, they say, oh, this is just an imagination. You know, by chanting Hare Krishna once, you get freed of all the sinful reactions from countless lifetimes, more than you can commit. This is just imagination. Just read the teachings of Haridas Thakur to find out what the answer to that is. Of course, there's a quality in chanting the holy names. There's a quality. And it may not be that in every single case you could say that there's a immediate effect, but it may be a little time separation, but that effect will be there. There's no exaggeration or imagination in the glories or explanations of the glories of the Holy Name. They are unlimited. The Holy Name is unlimited glorious. And what's the sixth offense?
Around the corner.
Sixth offense.
Yes, sir.
Yes, to give some mundane interpretation on the chanting of the holy names, it means this, it means that, whatever. Sometimes people interpret it according to their own impressions. We hear from the Shastras what the meaning of the holy name, and from the Guru, the actual meaning of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Rama. Hare Krishna. What does Hare mean? Krishna, all attractive. Rama, supreme enjoyer, reservoir of all pleasure. And together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. What does that mean? What are we praying? We were asking for the Lord's mercy, the holy name's mercy. Please engage me in your devotional service. We're praying to Radharani in her form of Bharat. Please release me from the service of the material energy. And not just your service. Now, one of the important points of initiation is to realize our actual position as Dasa, Dasa, Anu Dasa. Don't forget, Maharaj was saying, don't think I'm just servant of Guru or Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dasa, 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 Anu Dasa. Servant of the servant, 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 servant. Always our business is to serve. Initiation means taking the responsibility to become a servant. And the seventh offense, commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names. Prabhupada talks about that a lot. You do some nonsense, say, never mind, just chant Hare Krishna. I'll become free from reaction. This is offensive. Sure, we may do something wrong. It doesn't mean we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna, but we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna with the idea that let me carry on doing this, not just chant Hare Krishna, or go to the church and say, please forgive me for my sins, and so on. Now, we should be, if we're praying at all, if we see that we're sinful, we should be praying, please, my Lord, please give me the strength to become pleasing to you and free from activities which are displeasing to you. What's the eighth offense? Yes, ma'am.
Considered glorious, so chanting Hare Krishna as a manner of auspicious ritualistic activities, offering the Vedas as fruity activities.
Karma Kanda! You got it wrong! That's a real mouthful, that one.
Thank you
very well, well done. Yes, Karma Kanda. It is not of this material world. It's not just another mantra. This is Paraka Brahma mantra. It means the mantra which delivers the highest perfection. Not just that which delivers us or liberates us from this world. Many mantras are called Paraka Brahma mantra. They may liberate us from this material world. The holy name delivers the love of God. If we have the right approach and attitude, service mentality, offenseless chanting, the holy name will reveal himself to us. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. The holy name has come from Goloka Vrindavan. It's not from any other plane. It's not from Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or the Brahman. It's from Goloka. Direct, descended into this universe, non-different than Krishna himself. Into this universe, Nama Chintamani Krishna says, come into this world. Chintamani, touchstone. The name is touchstone. All we have to do is hold on to the name. To enter into the holy name, of course, we've got to purify our approach to the name. This eighth offense. Never consider it's just another mantra. Any mantra you can chant. No, this is given by Krishna himself. Or it's the same how Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds. Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna. That's what he's told us to do. We should do it. And have faith that this chanting alone will deliver us to the highest perfection. Ninth offense? Instruct a faithless person in... Yes. Instruct a faithless person in what? About the glories of the holy name. Otherwise, what would we do if we get everyone's faithless? We don't instruct them about the glories of the holy name. In fact, when we go on Sankirtan, usually we don't talk about much, anything a little bit too deep. Very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna. We hardly explain it. We're just distributing the holy name, giving out mercy on behalf of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We're serving him to give out mercy. Ninth offense. Tenth offense? Because if you speak the glories of the holy name to an ordinary or faithless person, they may misunderstand, they may become blasphemous. And that would be very detrimental to one and all. What's the tenth offense? Tenth offense. Yes, another Chandali. Chandali?
We may have complete faith in chanting practice.
That's offense, yes. If you didn't hear it, it's a common one. I don't know if anyone here ever has that problem. That they remain a little attached to material things. You ever had that problem? Anybody? No? Never heard about it before, no. And so attached they don't even know it. Absorbed in it. Think it's normal.
Attached to not being attached.
Yeah, attached. And not being attached, my other side. That's more likely sometimes. We don't want to let go, isn't it? We've got those little anchors inside, and if necessary, hold on there. Well, we're holding on to the anchors in this world, you know. the causes of distress. We don't want to let go. It's so attached. The samskara is tight. Deep chanting. That's a faith in the holy name. Cultivate the faith in chanting the holy name. Sit together. Choose the best time of the day for chanting. Wonder Guru was telling me yesterday, he chants his rounds from 5 o'clock in the evening until 9 o'clock in the evening. So it's good you chant the rounds, but it's better if you chant them at the most potent time. Otherwise, all day long, you're what? And then the next question he asks is, how can I keep myself a little Krishna conscious during the day? It's so difficult. You may wonder. If you sanna, this is little tapasya must be there. Initiation means a little tapasya. This is the tapasya. Make this little vow. You'll get up in the morning. Especially it's harder with householders, I know, many of you. But if you can do this, get up early in the morning. Chant your rounds during the Brahma Muhurta period, before sunrise. All day long, your heart will be so much more pure and Krishna conscious. Much easier not to be affected by the material energies around us. And it's much easier to chant in the morning. We chant at night, it's very hard sometimes. So much distraction in it. You're tired. Chant in the morning. Have this faith that if we chant the holy name. Now the last offense is what? Who hasn't answered yet? Come on. You're not listening. Okay, who else? Someone who hasn't answered. Marriage hasn't answered. You've got your hand up. How do you know it already? Who knows? Come on. Somebody else. Somebody else has spoken. Come on, Mantra. Of course you know. Inattentive. To chant the holy names inattentively. Because inattentive chanting, this is probably the most common, isn't it? Isn't it? How do we overcome that? Listen, we could have a whole seminar on its own on this, but we haven't got time. But the whole secret of spiritual or advancing Krishna consciousness or chanting the holy name is if we're attentive while chanting, how can you commit the other offenses? Whereas inattentive chanting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it actually, two different places. One, he says, it causes all the other offenses to take place. And the other, it says that it plants the seed of all anartha, material desire. The seeds are there. Inattentive chanting may plant those seeds. So we make a sincere endeavor to chant attentively when we chant the Maha Mantra. And that again in the morning with devotees, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Once more and loudly. Privileged to be here today with His Holiness Giridhari Maharaj. Thank you for tolerating me for the last whatever it is. I can't see the clock. Whenever I speak, you have to put a clock in front of me, otherwise I'm completely hopeless. You're lucky you could see the clock. Are we ready to proceed now with the next stage? Perhaps I can request four devotees to read four scriptures. Is that okay? Four devotees who can read. There's four books here. Come on. Two ladies, two men. One over here, one over there. One over here, one over there. Okay, pass the books, please. Plenty of choices. Come on, get them moving in a time. Mantra tas tanta tas chidram. Sometimes it's stated, actually in the Bhagavatam it states that we should hear about the Pali Maharaj. We'll just chant one mantra. Mantra tas tanta tas chidram. On this occasion, although the time may not be completely correct, although the place may not be completely correct, although it is, although the paraphernalia may not be completely correct, even the Vastu and all the various things we can take into account, the mantras may not be chanted perfectly, we may not be in a perfectly clean state, as Sridhar Prabhupada chanted the mantra for purification, even if we're impure or pure, one who remembers the lotus feet, lotus-eyed Lord, he will become pure inside an hour. And the essential process of becoming purified is chanting. Although there may be many faults, it's a nischidam. Nischidam. With the chanting of the holy names, everything becomes nischidam. Everything becomes pure. Everything becomes faultless. So during the yogi, we ask everyone please to chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. And Hare Krishna. Are you ready?
Next part is the giving a name for these
days. You got the names, right?
And the beans.
You chose the names. You got the names.
I thought you had.
I went around in circles this morning. Every name I thought of, there's already a devotee in the yatra got that name. There must be a lot of devotees in this yatra. Okay.
You should go first.
I was just requested I go ahead. Thank you, Maharaj. So, today on the appearance day of Srila Ramananda Roy is a very auspicious day. A wonderful day to receive Harinam Diksha. So we're going to call the devotees forward for initiation. Start first with the Wampers. All the Wampers, please. Okay, Jasper.
Hello!
Waiting a long time. Don't stand on the bananas.
Extend your arms, Jasper.
Full surrender. Papa told me that. When I took initiation, Papa said, put my arms out full like you did wrong. Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Don't put your feet towards Garuda. Don't put your feet towards Prabhupada. Don't put your feet towards me. But just surrender your heart, whatever it is. Jasper's been waiting in the sidelines and sometimes in the front lines. And now you're getting mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He's taking him up.
Here he is.
Your support trip here. Jai. Jasper. Hare Krishna. So Jasper, go home. Do you know what the four regulated principles are?
All the saints, all around you, no fixation, and all the being visualized.
Okay. And how many rounds you're going to chant every day?
I'm thinking about individual person, about 25 rounds.
Every day?
Yeah.
Very nice. They put the standard to 25 or and more on Akadashi, right? And you promise that you'll remain faithful to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in his mission throughout your life? Please. Prabhupada has given everything for us. The least we can do to show a little bit of indebtedness to Prabhupada is never leave his lotus feet. Please, whatever happens in your life. Thank you very much, Jasper. Who's got the beats? Sure. Well, I hope no one else in the answer has his name. I think you do. Jasper Bowen, it's my privilege on behalf of Srila Prabhupada to officially initiate you in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness to become a member of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental family. So please take this seriously today. Your name is Jiva Doyadas.
Someone
Ne? Jiva Doya. Jiva Doya. 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 Jiva Doya. Jiva Doya.
Okay. And go to Shiva Prabhupada on for basis.
Jiva Doya, Prabhu Ki!
Is that okay? After all that.
Mercy. Why do you get mercy to the Jeevas?
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Please offer your basis to Srila Prabhupada. At the bottom end of the stick and around somewhere. Whoa. Maybe around this time. Oh, here we
go.
That's what we call upon Mother Janaki. We have the microphone for Janaki. Very, very special day today. We want to thank Guru Prabhu and Mother Madhukanta. So wonderful example of parents. There are so many wonderful parents here with wonderful children. I see this as one of the futures of our mission here in this country. We've had this wonderful program here for last month or so with many of the devotee children. It's one of the most inspiring things I've seen in years. And we hope that many of those who are grihasthas will follow an example of a Guru Prabhu and Madhukanta Mataji and raise wonderful children as you've done. And of course today also is also a very blessed event. Mother's also accepting Brahma initiation today. So this is a very special occasion and a great credit to the family members. We'd like to thank you very much. From a good fruit, when you see a good fruit, you know it's a good tree. So these two young ladies, Janavi and Janaki, have been serving here now for quite some time here at Padamadhava Mahakamandir. And doing very steady and very sincere service, regularly attending Mangalarti, so on and so forth. We hope that you can continue this throughout your whole life, not necessarily staying here in Radhamadhava Mandir your whole life, and you may do also, but continue faithfully in your devotional service as you've been doing, following the footsteps of your mother and father, the wonderful examples. Thank you both very, very much. So, Mother Janaki, do you know what the four regulated principles are?
No eating, no gambling, no
anything, no intoxication. And chanting Hare Krishna?
I chant 20 rounds a day.
20 rounds a day.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes devotees will say, and probably say what we say, anyone says, how many rounds? They say 16 rounds a day. Not more than 16, right?
Maximum.
Maximum 16 rounds. No, not maximum. Minimum. I would say minimum. And then be maximum. Finished. I finished. I've done my rounds. It's over. Mechanical chanting. Defensive chanting means mechanical chanting. More chanting. When we chant more and off the beats means we're starting to develop a little bit beyond mechanical. We want to become Krishna conscious more. Not just a mechanical minimum.
There is no maximum to chanting the holy name. Is there a maximum? No. 24 hours a day. So at least on our beats, minimum 60.
Let me see where the beats.
If you don't
remember the names, I do have them written on a card. I'll give you the number.
Today is the
appearance day of Ramananda Roy. Very auspicious day. Who's your favorite worshipable Lord? Yeah, she loves Panchatattva. I tried and tried and tried.
But I saw eventually I had a name. Unfortunately, by Krishna's arrangement, another devotee already had the name. So we give you a name, Prabhupada's inspiration, which is related to this auspicious day. So your name is now Vishakha Priya Devi Dasi. Rama Leroy is Vishakha Devi.
Vishakha Priya Devi Dasi!
Your base is to Prabhupada to Radhamadha. Maybe he either put it there or so we'd like now to call upon Mother Janali. Hare Krishna. Mother Janavi, the elder sister of the two wonderful sisters. Hard to change their names. They've already got such wonderful names, you know. But Prabhupada said we do change names on the Kathong initiation. We'd like to ask you, Mother Janavi, do you know what the four regulated principles are?
Yes.
No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Very good. And how many rounds a day?
From this day, I vow to chant
25
rounds. But at least minimum 16, okay? Prabhupada's standard is minimum 16. Now if you can chant more, the better. The more the merrier. But minimum 16. Thank you very, very much. So, and who are you inspired? What's your name? Lord Nrsimhadev. Lord Nrsimhadev. Wow, he's looking at you from behind there. Jai Nrsimha. I tried to think of a name of Lord Nrsimha which would be appropriate for one who's in a female dress. You know, some heavy names, you know. I went through 1,000 names of Nrsimha. And I didn't go through all of them, but I found one name which I thought was very sweet. And as the two of you are sisters, we've got Vishakha Priya. And so I thought you should also be a Priya. Because you're both very dear to your parents and dear to the devotees and dear to each other. So we're giving you a name of Priya also. Your name is the name of Lord Nrsimhadev. One who is very popular, one who is very dear to everyone, and so on. Evergreen. Your name is Loka Priya Devi Das. Hare Krishna, thank you. Loka. Not local. Loka. It's the name of Lord Nrsimhadev. Pass over to His Holiness, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
One more set of beads, what happened to that? Never mind.
Hey, Hare Krishna. First, we're going to Bhakti Gabriel.
Gabriel!
those of you who don't know, Bhakti Gabriel has been one of the very steady members of the Advaita Chandra Prabhu's Namahata program, Raghuna. And he tells us that this devotee Bhakti Gabriel is quite an expert cook.
Good.
He's the main cook of the Namahata group there, as well as doing the service. So as Maharaj, I also thought deeply about a nice name. And there's quite a few inspirations in this room. One is this beautiful painting here of Govardhana. We already have a Govardhan Das and Yantra, so that's already taken. We also have Gira Govardhan on the altar. So Govardhan is so dear to us. We know in the form of Haridas Vada that we worship him as the greatest servant of Lord Hari. So we learn from him how to serve the Lord in all different ways. But as he gives his whole being, his body, you see the cows are grazing on his grasses, and he supplies waters for the sages of the cows, and herbs, and plants, and so many different things. And so he's said to give everything. So, with that in mind, I'm going to give you a name. I'll go over down. So I'm here, I have the name of a very, very close and dear godbrother of mine.
Govardhan also likes to eat, Maharaj, so he needs some good cooks.
Yeah.
He's a voracious eater.
Yes, a voracious eater. Aniyor! 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 Govardhan, even after he consumed all the offerings, even that wasn't enough, and he was crying out, Aniyor, give me more. And Krishna finally then was pushed forward. All the demigods were a little bit intimidated. They pushed Krishna forward, and Krishna offered some tulsi leaves. In another expansion, he offered some tulsi leaves without completing the offering. And he was satisfied. So we're going to give you the name.
What about the regulated principles?
Oh, that's a good
idea. Maybe you don't have to follow those. This is very mercy.
Before we give you the name, I'd like to know first what regulative principles you are bound to follow.
No eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex.
And how many rounds are you bound?
I'm jumping 16 rounds a day.
Minimum.
Yes, sir.
Not maximum. Minimum. You can chant like Haridas Thakur if you wish. 3 times 64. 192. If you wish, you may do that. You have our permission.
You've been given the green light now, so you
can. Yes, sure, go ahead. Okay. We're going to give you the name Giriraj Das. Nice name to call upon Bala Krishna. So it has to, definitely has to be a Braj name. It has to be Braj. So I was trying to think of a nice Braj name, Gopi name. So I came up with, I think this is a nice name. The name I'm going to give you is actually the mother of Kalabati, and Kalabati is one of the Varagopis, and that's the very exalted eight gopis of Braj. There's they say the most exalted, then there's the exalted. They're all exalted, 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 but like that. But then these are called the exalted gopis of Braj. Okay.
Beats.
So the name I'm going to give you today, on behalf of Shri Prabhupada, is Sindhumati.
Om Shanti 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 Om Sangha Mitra Sambaruna Sagno Bhavatu. pravyaksham brahmaste vāne va pravyaksham brahmavārisham vitamavārisham satyamavārisham tatmam mavet tatmakkaram mavet avimam avivaktaram om shanti 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 om sahana avatu sahano bhunaktu
There's a little bit of rains in the thumb and the middle finger and it's right to the fire.
Agana Ivirandasya Ananjana Sakaya Sakshu Omilita
Yena Kashmai
Gurave Namaha
Sunyavadi,
Paskatya,
Vashatadine,
Swaha,
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 Siddhanta,
Bhakti Siddhanta,
Saraswati,
Saraswati,
Ikinamine,
Ikinamine,
Swaha. Krishna Devam, Krishna Devihi, Satyamanam, Swarame, the remaining grains into the fire one by one. And just take the banana and place it in the box.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Devaya.
Hey, Krishna.
Hey.